You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Don Guerra.
And I'm Todd Wicks. This is the Daily Local News for Tuesday, March 19th, 2019.
The idea of the UDO was to make things simpler for folks, for all of us, to be able to understand. And it hasn't done that yet. And we paid a great deal of money to Clarion to do that for us. But if we don't, at the end of the day, meet people where they are and go to people's communities and actually let them know how the UDO will affect their property values and their neighborhoods, we aren't doing the right thing as public officials.
Last night was the second public debate between Bloomington Democratic mayoral candidates John Hamilton and Amanda Barge. We'll hear excerpts from last night's Democracy for Monroe County debate later in the program and today's feature report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Charlotte Zeitlow talks about her work to preserve and save the Monroe County Courthouse. That's coming up in this week's edition of the Bicentennial Journal, looking back on 200 years of history in South Central Indiana. But first, your daily headlines.
The City of Bloomington's Redevelopment Commission gave its approval last night to demolish and reconstruct the city's 4th Street parking garage. Controller Jeff Underwood told the Redevelopment Commission the Bloomington City Council may reverse its previous decision to repair rather than rebuild the decaying structure.
The council has indicated that they have reconsidered and they now have the votes to approve the demolition and reconstruction of the 4th Street garage. This has gone through many iterations. Again, this is a resolution to approve funding, bonding of the project.
The cost to rebuild the 4th Street parking garage is estimated at $18.5 million. According to the project review form approved last night, reconstruction is to be completed by December of next year. The demolition cost is now included in the bond. In previous discussions, the City Council wanted the demolition cost to come from the city's existing funds, but City Controller Underwood told the Redevelopment Commission there isn't enough money in the city's parking fund to pay for both the demolition and maintain upkeep on other city garages. Underwood says the city would have to dig into its reserves.
And we just got upgraded from a AA minus to AA based on the fact that we have built and were able to maintain reserves. And the first action of the council is to say, appropriate money out of those reserves, we will lose our bond rating.
Assistant City Attorney Larry Allen said this latest version of the project differs slightly from previous iterations. For starters, the number of electric vehicle charging stations has been increased from 6 to 10.
The solar panels, we didn't have any kind of kilowattage that would be covered. That was added in, 12,000 kilowatts. The bicycle parking got a little bit more firm, which is to say that there would be a minimum of parking for 50 bicycles, and 10 of those spots will include bike lockers. And then instead of one public restroom, I think it had always been contemplated, once we decided that a public restroom was going to go in, there would be two. This just reflects that there actually be two public restrooms.
Underwood said the City Council will discuss the issue at its meeting next Wednesday night and then vote formally on it the following week. 5 City Council members will have to vote in favor of reconstruction rather than repair for the project to move forward. Underwood says the City of Bloomington will continue on its current track to bid out the repairs to the 4th Street parking garage in the event the council does end up approving the reconstruction.
Also during their meeting yesterday, the Redevelopment Commission also approved a design contract with CSO Architects for the Trades District parking garage. City Controller Jeff Underwood says the $26,000 contract with the architectural firm is for the first design phase, which entails site selection and public outreach. CSO Architects will produce the garage's actual design during a second, later phase. Redevelopment Commission member Suze Gambaleri asked Underwood yesterday for more information on the public outreach sessions, which will all be held on a single day in April.
We're working on a list of stakeholders, and then they'll be broken down into kind of common groups. So there may be a actual neighborhood, you know, we look at some of the closer neighborhoods and they bring representatives, the businesses that kind of surround, and then groups like the BEDC, the Chamber, downtown Bloomington, the Mill. You've got other businesses like the county, and IU has rents offices out of there. You have Cook next door to us. You have Solution Tree and some other businesses. So it's kind of developing a stakeholders list of what does it make sense, and then they'll break those down into common groups, and they'll schedule them to come in specifically, and then there'll be an evening meeting that's just open to the public for folks to come into.
So neighborhood doesn't mean like Maple Heights neighborhood.
No, it means all these the neighborhood of around the mill.
The city of Bloomington has identified two potential sites for the new Trades District parking garage. City Controller Underwood said each potential site has its advantages and disadvantages. Redevelopment Commission member Dave Walter said the city is relying on the Indianapolis-based architect's creativity to come up with a design that's aesthetically a good fit with the surrounding area.
I think the most interesting thing in this proposal is that they're doing site test fits, because we've laid out some criteria, you know, about how big, about how it should be convertible for office space and so on. And then within that, developing a design that will fit these two sites and achieve that criteria. There's advantages and disadvantages both, but you can consider this as a preliminary design process where we really don't have a cost yet, so anything is possible.
The Trades District Parking Garage Project calls for a 300-space garage that includes public restrooms and retail spaces. It also calls for the Trades District Garage to be designed to allow for future adaptive reuse.
A state court judge will issue a decision on the City of Bloomington's lawsuit against the state of Indiana next week. Next week's decision by a state judge will be the latest in an ongoing legal battle between the City of Bloomington and the state over Bloomington's attempt to annex areas of Monroe County into the city limits 2 years ago. That annexation attempt was blocked by the Indiana State Legislature, who approved a clause into the state budget blocking Bloomington from proceeding to annex any additional territory into municipal limits. Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb signed off on the budget and the legislature's annexation clause. The City of Bloomington then filed a lawsuit against the governor's office, calling into question the legality of specifically targeting the city. Last year, a state court upheld Governor Holcomb's office as the defendant in the annexation lawsuit. Legal representation from the City of Bloomington and the state will meet in court next Tuesday. Governor Holcomb's office, which is the defendant in the case, is being represented by the State Attorney General's office. Both the state and the city asked for a judge to present a summary judgment about the case. Legal representation from the City of Bloomington, who declined to be interviewed on the case, due to its nature as ongoing litigation, said next week's summary judgment will essentially be a preliminary ruling in the case. That decision could then be challenged by the city or the state. According to a statement on the City of Bloomington's website, the City of Bloomington has proposed the annexation of 7 urbanized areas just outside the current municipal boundaries. Although these areas may already be part of the Bloomington community, they are not within the city's municipal boundaries at this time. The proposed annexations will allow everyone in the community to be a part of the same future and provide for a more uniform and efficient local government. The city anticipates that the annexation process will result in enhanced services from the fire and police departments and improvements in street maintenance, transit expansion, proposed high-speed fiber to the premises, and programs such as park services. The City of Bloomington suspended annexation efforts following the adoption of language added to the state budget bill just hours before the end of the 2017 legislative sessions. The bill was signed into law on April 27, 2017. The legislation terminated Bloomington's annexation efforts and prohibited further annexation activities until 2022. Next week's summary judgment is open to the public, and some court documents are currently public record. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Todd Wicks.
And I'm Don Guerra. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com. Last night, City of Bloomington Democratic mayoral candidates Amanda Barge and John Hamilton spoke at their second debate of the year. Last night's debate at the Monroe County Public Library was sponsored by Democracy for Monroe County. According to their Facebook page, Democracy for Monroe County is a grassroots political action committee dedicated to supporting progressive policies at the state and local levels. In today's feature report, we'll hear incumbent Mayor John Hamilton and challenger and County Commissioner Amanda Barge speak about housing in Bloomington. The debate is moderated by Democracy for Monroe County's Jada B.
Hi, my name's Ed Bernstein. We talked about aiming higher, and I think this is a literal question. It happens to do with growth. I think there are a lot of people, including myself, feel like there's maybe too much growth in the wrong way. And I just would like to hear from both of you, what are the limits of growth? What kind of growth are we talking about? This has been going on since Fernandez was in power. We see these cookie cutter apartment buildings going up everywhere. And as I used to tell my students, we might be throwing the baby out with the bathwater in Bloomington. Thanks.
Yes, that question plays into something that we, Democracy from Monroe County, had been talking about, which is Bloomington's growing construction, the construction and destruction of public sites, in particular, the hospital is of grave concern to many people in Bloomington, and what will be done with that land, and whether or not there'll be public engagement, and that public engagement will be heard in what is done with that land, and the transparency and the processes of revitalizing areas of Bloomington. So, again, framing that question in that thought, as well as thinking about whether we are changing away from a community to a student bedroom.
Thanks, Ed, for the question and for the additions, Jada.
Yeah.
So we just celebrated our bicentennial. 200 years old last year. For 200 years, Bloomington has grown. There was no period in that time when we stopped growing, and we are not going to stop changing and growing. We've had 1,000 people coming to our community voluntarily over the last 10 years per year. The question is, how do we manage that growth? Maybe Bloomington will stop being popular with people. Maybe people won't want to move to Bloomington. Most of you here moved to Bloomington at some point, and you were welcomed to Bloomington, and that's a good thing, and we need to keep welcoming people. The question is, how do we grow well? What speed, where, and managing the incredible quality of life that we have? That is a big debate. There's no one of us who has the answer to that. I will say I am proud we were opposed by some of the powerful forces in the city, but 2 years ago, we cut the height in the city downtown that buildings could be built because we saw that the zoning hadn't been changed and it was going to take a while to do it. And we said, we got to stop this right now. There were strong forces against it, but with the city council support, we cut the height that buildings could build automatically. That doesn't mean, in my view, that we can't think about height in the right places and density. If we're going to be a sustainable city and climate change is a huge challenge for all of us, we have to figure out how do we live together so that we have less reliance on cars, we have more ability to get to work, get to school, get to doctors, get to healthcare, all that. And I'm committed to that. It's the new comprehensive master plan is really important, adopted by the Plan Commission and the City Council with tons of public input, thinking about where do we want to see that. Let me just mention on the hospital, I'm really proud as a city with the Redevelopment Commission. We purchased those 24 acres, which some people didn't think we should do. We bought them so the public, we can decide what do we want to do with that. There will be very public engagement with that starting later this year. You'll watch for that for the newspaper. It's going to take a few years for the hospital to move. But that's a huge opportunity for us as a city to decide what do we want those 24 acres to look like. And I'm glad we get to do that.
Thank you for the question. That's one of the things I like to tell people when I first thought about running for office several years ago. I was driving around with my daughter when she would nap, and I would get so upset by all the new developments. And I would just like, I've got to run for something. And I got back involved in politics and government, and it's important. And I grew up here, so I've seen how the community changes. And when I listen to people all over this community, everyone has the same sort of question. Is just like, I think there's a lack of a unified vision in terms of how we're growing. And I do believe that the UDO is working. It's an attempt to get us there, but it's a 485-page document. And the idea of the UDO was to make things simpler for folks, for all of us, to be able to understand. And it hasn't done that yet. And we paid a great deal of money to Clarion to do that for us. But if we don't, at the end of the day, meet people where they are and go to people's communities and actually let them know how the UDO will affect their property values and their neighborhoods, we aren't doing the right thing as public officials. And it's really, really important. And that's what we need to be doing. So I do think that there are more public meetings scheduled about the UDO, but quite frankly, most people aren't going to those. It's at City Hall. Most people don't know they're happening, and we need better public engagement. We need more transparency in the process. And I'm going to say just for a moment about the hospital. I hear the same concerns about the hospital site, which is, you know, the Urban Land Institute's first original, what was affordable housing was not considered affordable. Then we sort of have made some changes. There are a lot of residents out there that are concerned that this process is not transparent enough. And we just need to make sure it is. We need to make sure it is, because it's a great opportunity for that area. And we just need to make sure that we're hearing from everyone who lives nearby and how they're going to be affected by that.
Thank you. It will be an extremely transparent process. We've already actually had 500 comments on the UDO, I think. It is complicated, but wide open. Everybody jump in, tell us what you think of it. I do just want to say one thing about buildings themselves. One question I ask people is, name a building built in this city over the last 50 years that you think people will cherish 50 years from now. Part of it is the challenge to make sure we get the quality of buildings that we want. And we can do that together. I don't think we've done well enough with that, but we need to create that seed capital for the future too.
Just again, I think the question is, why do so many people feel left out of the process so often? Every neighborhood I go to, and I feel that as a county commissioner, I feel responsible when people come to me and say, I had no idea there was a public meeting. I didn't know about that. Well, you know what? We should have done a better job ahead of time. And that's what we really try to do before it ends up on our desk for legislation. We try really hard to talk to the people that are going to be most impacted ahead of time. And I think that's what we need to do in the city.
Good evening and good luck to you both. William Hosea. The city has a well-established housing authority along with the Board of Commissioners. The county has a newly formed Affordable Housing Commission. And Mayor Hamilton, you gave some examples of what the city has done to address affordable housing earlier. What I want to ask each of you to do is give a specific example of what both bodies can do to work together to address affordable housing.
I'm going to also reframe that just a little bit. I know that that's a big concern that came up in the endorsement committee's questioning, that it seems as if many people in my age range, in the 30 to 40 age range, are priced out of houses, that there aren't enough houses. And then there's also not enough lower income houses that are of quality and of accessibility to bus lines, as well as to people who are in need of help. So I just want to give some stats real quick for those here. The median income for a household in the city of Bloomington is $49,043, which is $11,293 less than the national average. The per person income is $27,157, which is $502,540 less than the national average. So we are definitely falling behind the national average here in Bloomington, Indiana, in terms of our income, and therefore our housing market is much higher. So please think about that in your answers. And I believe, Amanda, it's your turn first.
So we continue to be the most expensive housing market in the state. Right now, if you want to look at houses for sale, only 73 in this entire county are under $150,000. And 64% of renters are cost burdened, 23% or 24% of homeowners are cost burdened, meaning that's over, they pay over 30% of their rent or mortgage they pay over 30% of their income to their rent or mortgage. So we absolutely have an opportunity with the county and the city to work together. And that's something that I know that I would bring a strength to that because I have a familiarity with the county. I know how the county works and I've built relationships within the county. And I know that that's something that because the county has so much land, that is an opportunity for the city and the county to say, let's work together and build housing. And it does take vision because if you look at some of the sewer lines, we have sewer, the sewer is an issue, but that's not that is totally something that's we can do. I would recommend having an affordable housing regional summit, and I would also recommend immediately doing a strategic plan. And that would be something that would involve the county and doing it, potentially doing that together so that we have data, so that we know how much housing we need, how much it's going to cost, and how long it's actually going to take. That's sort of, we're kind of flying blind right now. We have ideas, we have goals, we have some people doing housing studies over here, but your city government ought to figure that out so that we can hold ourselves accountable and come up with a goal.
Well, thank you for the question, William. We have a huge housing crisis. We have plenty of plans. City government has housing plans. Housing authority has housing plans. You're developing housing plans and talking about getting housing plans. We need to build housing is what we need. And I'm proud that the city, together with our partners, has built 600 units or is building 600 units, bedrooms of affordable housing. We do look forward to, you know, we've been trying to get some county land transferred in the city, like at Thornton Drive, which we're hoping to get. We've been waiting for a couple years for that. I know there's ways to work together. I do think the county has a particular opportunity with the much lower land cost to do affordable housing outside the city limits in the county, and I encourage you to do that. I'm sorry there hasn't been more growth of affordable housing there. Let me just mention one thing we're doing, the Housing Authority, and I appreciate the question. A new thing we're doing with the Housing Authority, they about 2,500 to 3,000 people go to sleep every night in our community, in Housing Authority units. Yeah. 2,500 to 3,000 people in the Public Housing Authority support. 300 of those they own directly, and it was going to take 25 years to rehab those. 25 years to rehab them. So many are 50 years old. With the leadership of Amber Scobie and the board, we have developed a way to refinance the Housing Authority to do all of that rehab in 5 years. Yeah. That means 300 people are going to get new rehab homes in the next 5 years. There's a lot of work to be done, and there's tons we can do together. I'm proud of the momentum that we have, and I hope you'll support us in keeping that momentum going so we can do more over the next 4 years, too.
I also, William, to answer your question about city-county, I think that the Monroe County stepped up, and our housing is actually cheaper out in the county versus the city. We stepped up and started the Affordable Housing Commission, and as mayor, I would say that needs to be an intergovernmental group that works together. So that didn't I get a chance to answer your question. I think affordable housing in general it's a nationwide problem, but it's a public health issue. It's a human rights issue, and it's a public health issue, and every single elected official needs to come together and start with that foundation. That's absolutely what needs to happen. You need those of us that are here that have the power need to stand up and say it is those things.
You've been listening to Monroe County Commissioner Amanda Barge and Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton speaking about housing challenges. Barge and Hamilton debated at last night's Democracy for Monroe County mayoral debate. Democracy for Monroe County is expected to endorse either incumbent John Hamilton or challenger Amanda Barge for mayor in April. The next Democracy for Monroe County debate is between City Council at-large candidates next Monday.
Coming up next, the Bicentennial Journal, looking back on 200 years of history in South Central Indiana.
Monroe
Monroe County's Bicentennial Committee presents the Bicentennial Journal, stories celebrating the rich history of Monroe County.
This is Charlotte Zitlow, and this is my Monroe County story. Actually, I have a lot of them, but a big one is the one about the courthouse. The courthouse stands beautifully in the middle of town right now, and that is a result of the work of many, many, many people in the early 80s. When the courthouse was in terrible condition, when it was overflowing, when Judge Kellams had his office in a bathroom and Judge Dixon had the ceiling fall on his head and Judge Baker thought that it was inappropriate to have raw sewage in the basement of the courthouse and Judge Todd could only get to his office by going through the courtroom or coming in through the window. So it was really full and overflowing with boxes and wires. The second and third floor were all filled in. And I'm a brand new county commissioner and everybody else is tired of dealing with it. And they say, Charlotte, take care of it. Save the courthouse. And I found out that many, many of the major people in the community really thought that courthouse should be torn down. It's old and it's messy and it's dirty and it's a fire trap. Just tear it down and build up a new office building. That wasn't very appealing. And that there were a whole bunch of other people who thought, you tear that courthouse down and we'll just kill you. So I had to come to some arrangement that would help save the courthouse. And by really hard work, working with people who totally disagreed about it. Scott Schurz, who was the publisher of the newspaper, was one of the ones who really thought it should be torn down. And Rick Zabriskie, the president of the Bloomington Restorations Corporation, was one of the ones who said, you know, you tear it down, we'll kill you. So I thought, okay, we're working with both of them. And Lester DeCoker, who said, I don't care what you do as long as it doesn't cost any money. And Judge Dixon, who said, I don't care what you do, as long as you get people out of the jail, which is a terrible, awful fire trap, which it was. And there were people with offices and papers all over around the square. And we had all these different people working together, a 9-member steering committee for about 2.5 years, at which point we finally said, oh, we're exhausted. We've got to figure something out. We looked at all sorts of alternatives of what people had done in other counties and other places in the state, and found that many of them were not very successful. Madison had torn down its courthouse, and its new courthouse was losing its facing into the street and was not well accepted by the community. That was not an alternative. And we went through one alternative after another and finally hired an architect, Larry Burke, who came back with 5 options, as we suggested. And one of them was what we ended up doing, which was saving the courthouse and building the Justice Building and putting all of the land use and property management offices in the courthouse and the criminal justice system and the jail and the sheriff in the new Justice Center, which satisfied both needs. And so we did save the courthouse, but it wasn't easy. Once we came up with that suggestion, we had a big meeting with Frank McCloskey and 150 community leaders and said, what do you think? And they said, well, that's the idea that we think we should follow. And we did follow that. There were a lot of little nooks and crannies that we had to fall in before we actually got to the actual construction, but we made it. We made it. We didn't have to carry Judge Dixon on a flatbed truck in his bench, as I thought we would have to, because he didn't believe we could do it. But we did it. We had a campaign, we had banners, we had bumper stickers, we had cans at every restaurant that collected money. And we wrote to every single parcel owner in the county, told them that they would be saving money if they would pay cash instead of us entering into a bond issue. We raised $11,000 in cash with that mailing. And we finally got the people who had always remonstrated in the past to sort of give up and say, okay, we're going to go along with this time. And we saved the courthouse, and it's beautiful. And people were really happy when they walked in after it was open again and looked all the way up to the dome, which had been totally covered in. They were amazed and remembered what a beautiful building it was and that it still is.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by executive producer Wes Martin.
The Bicentennial Journal is produced by Kate Welch with help from Joyce Poling. Our engineer is Kevin Oliver. Our theme music is provided by Ben Lumsdaine, Scott Schmadke, and Danny Graff. For WFHB, I'm Todd Wicks.
And I'm Don Guerra. Stay tuned for Counterspin, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting's weekly radio show, providing a critical examination of national headlines. That's coming up next on WFHB.